Church, it gives me great pleasure to introduce this next person. We have all the way from Melbourne this morning, Pastor Ian Krutoff from the State Executive of the Australian Christian Churches in Victoria. It's a bit of a privilege, I think, to have him here with us this morning. So why don't you give him a warm Marupna welcome as he makes his way to the front.
I'm hoping this is on.
Yes.
Yeah. Because I can be a bit of a Luddite with these things, trying to work out what makes it work. Good to be with you, Pastor Gideon. God bless you. And here with Pastor Ryan. Praise God. Here we are. And Michelle, of course. Praise God. I get to have lunch with them. So I'm looking forward to that and catching up. Good to be with you again. Good to see you all in the house here. And so I just want to turn perhaps to Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 to 3. I love the principles, the first principles in Scripture. Sometimes when we don't have all the answers, we have to work on principles, you know? And if we understand principles, we can work things out. If we understand the principle of how something works, we can understand how to deal with it, how to operate it. And so if we understand the principles that God works with, then we can work out how to live this godly life, you know, the way he wants us to. Fair enough? And so in Genesis 1:1-3, it says, "In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth, and the earth was without form, and it was void." Those two words there, form and void, in the Hebrew, tohu and bohu, aren't they great words, you know? Tohu and bohu. And that just means chaos. Everything was just chaotic, you know, like some of our houses on a Sunday morning when we're trying to get out to go to church. Just chaos, right? "And darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters," was hovering, the Bible says. "And the Spirit of God was hovering over it all. And God said, let there be light." And guess what? There was light, because God said it, yeah? And so here we have a picture of total chaos. Lots of energy, but nothing coming together. Sometimes life's like that, right? We're expending a lot of energy, but it doesn't feel like anything's coming together. Doesn't feel like anything's changing. Still feels like sometimes in life that things are chaotic, without form and without void. And here is God coming in here, in this state of disorder and confusion. Think Ukraine, think the floods, think, you know, whatever it might be in your life and circumstances, it might be in this state of disorder and confusion. Two things are happening here. God says, and the Spirit moves. God says, and the Spirit moves. Here, see the principle, right? Because we're a people of the Word and we're a people of the Spirit. And so when the word is spoken and when the Spirit moves, the Spirit is hovering, waiting for the word to be spoken and getting ready. And when the word is spoken, the Spirit is the agent of change from chaos to order. God is the God of order. God is the God who brings order out of chaos. That's our first introduction to God, is that he is the God of order. That's why we pray to him when our life is out of order. That's why we look at the Word of God to align our life when it's out of order. Isn't that right? That's why we look to him to bring order out of chaos, because around us there's a lot of chaos. In my life, I used to be Australian Director of World Relief. And so in many areas of the world where there was chaos, whether it was man-made or natural, whether it was the war in Kosovo, where I rode in on a Russian tank, how strange is that, and came out in a Swiss Army helicopter and worked with the UNHCR there, or whether it was the tsunamis in Asia or the north of Papua New Guinea, wherever it might be, when you move in there, there is nothing but chaos. And the whole aim of everything moving in is to bring order out of chaos. We long for order. When the fires, Black Saturday, Wednesday and so forth, were on in the north of Melbourne, went in there, volunteered as a chaplain and walked the grey streets where it was just all ash. The streets were grey with ash and people's faces were grey with ash except where the tears had flown. And everything was chaotic until everything moved in to bring order out of the chaos. We long for order. For a time when I was a youth pastor and an assistant pastor, when you didn't get paid, I was a paramedic in Melbourne. And so you turn up in the ambulance and you usually turn up to chaotic scenes and everybody's there hoping that somehow you can bring order out of chaos because we long for order. And not just in the big picture, but in the small picture of our own lives, in our mind, in our checkbooks, in our families and our relationships. My wife and I, Laurie and I, we've been married only 47 years compared to some. But, we had three boys and you better believe it, you know, there's times when I wanted to print the T-shirt out of order and put it on them, you know. One in particular, he lived in our chaos room. That was called a bedroom, but it was our chaos room. And whenever people came to visit, you know, the rest of the house was in order, but we just made sure we shut that door so they never got to see the chaos room, you know, the room where somehow the clothes managed to crawl out into the laundry and my wife would just tip the clean clothes back in and shut the door. Every life has had at some stage a chaos room that perhaps we don't want to open, we don't want to acknowledge, but it's there and we don't even want to think about it and we try and walk past it. But we've all known it's been times of chaos in our life. And we look and we see here that he's the God of order and that God speaks and the Spirit moves. Direction and power create order out of chaos. See, power, sometimes people talk about the power of God, but they have no idea how to direct it, and so it's futile. And sometimes people have got all the answers but no power, and so it becomes futile as well. And people who have no answers and no power, how sad is that? But we know God who has the answers, has the word and the power, and if we understand that we can walk in that word and that power, we can walk through the chaos into order. It means that sometimes in our life, externally, chaos will come in, but we have learned how to walk in order and we can walk through it. Amen? Because we're people of the Word and people of the Spirit in our life. If we live our life according to the Word of God, it directs us in the right path, in the path of righteousness and in the path of wholeness, and the Spirit gives us the capacity to walk in that path. And so I thank God that we can pray for our children and our grandchildren that they need not know the chaos of life when it comes from within them by misdirecting their paths, by wrong attitudes growing. Things may still come from outside, but they know how to walk in order through chaos because we have the Word and we have the Spirit. Praise God. And so we know that the Word and the Spirit are life-transforming. They bring creation and not destruction. We know that God looked at the scene of tohu and bohu, just wanted to say it because they're great words, right? Brought order out of that. And so God's Word and the Spirit of God are world-changing. They change our world. They change the world around us. They change the world of our family and our relationships and our future. They are world-creating in our life out of disorder into order. Praise God. That's who we are. We're a people of the Word and of the Spirit. That's who we are. We're a people of the Spirit. And we're a people of the Spirit. I love it. It's almost as good as tohu and bohu, right? When we're talking there, you know? And so we've all found ourselves in that place, out of order. And you know, all the intellect in the world, all the money, all the charisma, and all the charm, and all the cunning on earth, sometimes there are some things that in the natural we just cannot straighten out. Been there, yeah? Thought about it, no answers. And so we need the power and the word from heaven. And the spirit and the word come from heaven. They're above the earth, greater than the earth, more powerful than the earth. The word and the spirit come from heaven, and we need to be able to speak the word, and we need to be able to free the spirit to work in our life, because the spirit hovers over our life and he waits for the word to be spoken so that the power can go into effect. I love the presence of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong, right? I love the presence of the Spirit. But you know, the Pentecostal churches have got a lot into the presence of God, but have forgotten the power of God. And you know, I love the Holy Spirit. He brings peace to my heart. And if I was in prison, I'd love the pastoral care person called the Holy Spirit to visit me in prison, to give me comfort and give me peace. But I tell you what, I'd rather the kick down the door power of the Holy Spirit to get me out of that prison. And the Word of God, if we declare it by faith, and the Word of God, if we declare it and prophesy it and bring it into being in our life, can see the power of the Holy Spirit operate in our lives to bring order out of chaos. We're a Pentecostal people. We're a people who know the presence of God is hovering, but we're a people who also know the active agency of the Holy Spirit operating in our lives. Amen? In all the circumstances of our life, that's who we are. And so we look to the God of order, the God who always tends to bring order out of chaos, light into darkness and help into despair. That's who he is. God is drawn to chaos. See, God was looking at this planet that was in chaos, but he was drawn to it. God's drawn to chaos so that he can bring order into the life. Sometimes we think, my life is hopeless. Why would God want to intervene in my life? God is drawn to that area of chaos to bring order into your life and your circumstance. He's drawn to that situation in your family or whatever it might be. You need to understand that God is hovering over your life, that the Holy Spirit is in that place, looking for the activation of the word that you can speak, to the prophecy that you can declare, so that something can begin to happen. Life began out of chaos. Chaos is not the end. Chaos can be the beginning. Sometimes we say, oh, it's all chaos. It's the end. It's the end of relationships. It's the end of hope. It's the end of whatever it might be. But in the Bible, we see as a principle that chaos was the beginning of something beautiful. Chaos was the beginning of something amazing. Chaos was the beginning of showing the greatness and the glory of God. Out of it came beauty and color and design and life and purpose came out of chaos. Chaos is not the end. Chaos can be the beginning of something even greater than perhaps it was in the beginning. In Isaiah 61, verses 1 to 3, love the fact that we sang about it. It says there that God will bring beauty out of ashes, amen? He'll bring order where there has been chaos. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, it says, to appoint unto me, unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. And so that's our God, the one who brings beauty for ashes, joy for mourning, praise for heaviness. See, disorder to order. That's our God, yeah? And so we see that Jesus takes this passage to himself. When we get into the New Testament, we see that, and we look at Luke chapter 5, verse 18, where Jesus begins his earthly ministry, and there he is, and people are waiting for him to speak, and he asks, bring me the scroll of the prophet Isaiah, and he opens it up, and he says, today this prophecy has been fulfilled in me, and he says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. Do you see what's happened there? The Spirit is on the Word. Jesus is the Word. And so the Spirit comes on the Word, and the Word declares, and the Spirit acts. And so people began to be healed and changed and released and restored, because the Word had come to speak the Word of heaven, and the Spirit was upon him to action the Word. That's the principle of God. We speak it, the Spirit is waiting. We declare wholeness, we declare restoration, we declare health and truth and so forth, and the Spirit of God wants to move on that. He is the active agency of the Word that we speak and declare, or the actions of faith that we might produce. It's not always a word, it might be an action, but it's a faith that the Spirit can work with. That's who we are. And so we don't look at the chaos, but we look at the potential of what can come out of the chaos because of God. And so Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He's anointed me to bring good news to the poor, sent me to proclaim the captives will be released, the blind will see, and the oppressed will be set free. All these people that were in chaos suddenly find order. The poor, the blind, the captives, the oppressed. And transformation occurs in their lives because the Word and the Spirit are active in their life. And so we declare and we pray and we prophesy and we act out in faith, and the Spirit is looking to work on that. See, God doesn't do magic. He needs something to work with. It's not magic. It's supernatural. He takes the natural and does something super with it. But we need to bring that word of faith, that action of faith, so that the Spirit can work on. And when I first took on my first church, know something about that? And there I was in this particular town, and I'm thinking, well, you know, what difference can we make? What difference is there for us being here? You know, what is the point of it all? And I remember being down at the beach and walking along there and just praying and God, you got to give me something in my heart that captures me, something, because I get the scripture, I understand what we're supposed to do in the big picture of what church and gospel is about. But God, something that I can work with and you can work with. And now, ladies, don't get uptight, because in my home I do the dishes, right? It's all good. But I saw this lady standing in the kitchen, because I stand in the kitchen too. Okay, so. Just happened to be that she was standing in the kitchen, and she had the most dejected, forlorn, shoulder sagging, tear flowing, hope gone demeanor. And I wanted to be her champion. I wanted to bring hope. I wanted to bring laughter to that house. And I knew that only God could bring that order out of that chaos. That was the result of chaos, that picture in her life. But it has always stayed with me. And that passage became the defining passage, that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and he's anointed me to bring good news. To create and not destroy, to lift up and not pull down, to bring order and not allow chaos to reign in people's lives. And that is the joy of Isaiah 61 there, when we see people who come out of disorder, people who come out of chaos, and suddenly we see that there's a newness and a freshness and a hope and a life and a potential and relationships connected and the security security of the future and intimacy and marriage and a sanity out of insanity or whatever it might be. But order has come. That's what God does through the Word and through the Spirit. And it gripped me, and it should grip us, because we're in a world of chaos that needs the order that only the Word and the Spirit can bring. And we're the people that can bring it. We're the people that can declare it. We're the people that can speak it. We're the people that can prophesy it. And then God will do His part if it's done in faith. Amen? That's who we are. That's what the Scripture tells us. And we work on that principle to bring great gladness into the world, where confusion has gone and direction has come and division has gone and closeness has come and anger is gone and love rules and where sickness is gone and health comes and poverty is gone and the wherewithal comes into people's lives. That's what we're about, because it's out of first principle that God saw a world in chaos and brought order. The Apostle Paul tells us in Romans that the world is living in entropy. Tells us that everything is devolving. Don't go into your garden for a while and see how the weeds grow. It's just how it works. And so we're a people who come with the Word of heaven and the Spirit of God from heaven, and who push against the natural order of things that goes downwards, because the law of entropy, the second law of thermodynamics, says that everything will wear down unless there is some intervening force that can change that. We are the intervening force through God, the Word, and the Spirit. That's who we are. Things will just go downwards unless there's an intervening force. That's who the church is. That's who we are. That's who you are at home. That's who you are in your relationships, in your marriage. That's who you are in your workplace. That's who you are in your school situation. You're the intervening force to the things that would tend downwards, to speak words that order can come out of chaos and it can move upwards again. That's who we are. Amen. And so the Word of God and the Spirit of God, every chaotic situation is the beginning of something amazing. It doesn't matter how bad it was. The Spirit of God is hovering over our life and just waiting for the Word to be spoken. And when the Word is spoken, the Spirit of God will act. You look at the picture in Ezekiel 37 where the prophet is standing there and he's looking across a field of chaos where there had been an army standing in ranks, bright armor and banners in the sky, looking for a victory, believing in great triumphs, but it was destroyed and wiped out. And all you could see now is the rib cages of dead men and skulls laying around in the grass. That's all you can see now, a picture of chaos. Bright armor is rusted. Dreams are gone. Hopes have faded. And God comes. I remember walking in the killing fields of Cambodia, and it looked much like that. Bones of men and women and children in the grass. And so the Word comes to the prophet. He says, "Can these bones live again?" And the prophet looks out there and he goes, "Well, God only knows." That's what he said. God only knows. Pretty wise answer. But the fact is, God does know that these bones can live, that these hopes can rise. God does know. And it wasn't a rhetorical question that God was asking. God does have the answer. God does have the way through. He doesn't come and taunt the prophet, because then he says, "Prophet, speak the word." And so I don't know what the prophet spoke. The Bible doesn't tell us. Rise, get up, stand, I don't know, some word, but it was a word that the Spirit could act on, right? And suddenly the bones began to attract sinew and muscle and organs and skin and whatever, and armor, and there they were standing there again, but they were inanimate. And God said, "Speak the word." And the wind, the ruach, the Spirit blew across what the Word had created, and life came. And here was hope again, potential again, dreams again, color again, movement again, strength again. because the word had been spoken and the Spirit moved. Something could happen. We're a people of the Word and of the Spirit, and if we're trying to live this life without declaring Word and believing in Spirit, we are only living the way the world is living, and chaos will reign. That's just a fact. That's how it happens. And so here we have the picture all through Scripture, whether it's a word of faith, or a word of possibility, a word of reconciliation, a word of forgiveness, but God needs something to work with. He needs us to step out to give Him something to work with. The word is not abracadabra or Shazam. It's not magic. It doesn't just happen. God needs something. In the Bible, in Hebrews chapter 11, the Bible tells us that faith is the substance of things hoped for. It's the stuff with which God builds our hopes and our dreams. Faith is the stuff. It's the substance with which God can see a heap of faith like you can see a heap of timber. Or can see a pile of flour or whatever it might be. God can see faith. It's His building material. It's the stuff He works with. It's the stuff that we bring in and pile up on the floor when we come in here for every meeting. We bring faith and we bring it collectively. And when God can see it, He can do amazing things with it. We give it to Him. And we give it to Him in the words that we speak and the songs that we sing and the acts that we do. God can see it. If you give Him a little bit of faith, you know, in the Bible it says people had a little bit of faith, right? And well, you know, He was a bit disappointed in that. Oh, ye of little faith, because with a little bit of faith, I'll build you a dog kennel, basically, right? I mean, make the dog happy, but doesn't do much else, you know. But other people had much faith. And much faith is okay if you want to build a garage for your favorite car or whatever it might be. But Jesus really got excited when it was great faith, because with great faith, He can build a house. We give Him something to work with. Believe that the Holy Spirit can act on that and make something happen. Give Him something to work with. The Spirit of God responds to our faith. We speak words of hope and words of construction, not words of destruction, not words of criticism, not words of negativity, but we speak words that build up. And we think sometimes the words that we say don't matter, friends. The Spirit of God cannot work on words of criticism or negativity, but the words that we speak to one another in hope and faith and belief, He listens to those things and He begins to work with those things and He begins to create with those things. And the more that we speak that way and the more that we declare that way, the more He has to work with. Do you hear what I'm saying? In our lives, in our families, in our churches, it's all the same. He can do that. And look at what He created first, right? He created light. Now, no sun or moon. It was just light. I don't know what it was. It was just light, right? There was no sun, there was no moon, but God created light. First thing, yeah? He created. And I don't know why He created light, but I know that when I look through all of the Scriptures, God does not work in the dark. God doesn't work in the dark. He calls people out of the darkness, into light. When Jesus came to this earth, the Bible says people who were in great darkness saw a great light. And now suddenly, when the light shone, when Jesus came, when the light came to earth, when the light was created and the new creation that He brought, suddenly the Word was able to be effective in people's lives and the Spirit move on them, and people were saved and transformed and healed and whatever it might have been, yeah? That's what happened, because the light came. And so the light doesn't really change any circumstances, but the light created the environment in which God could work. God doesn't work in darkness. He doesn't work in our ignorance of the Word of God. It's darkness, our ignorance of God's ways. That's why we look at first principles. God doesn't work in darkness. Doesn't work in ignorance. God doesn't work where there is sin going on. That's why we repent. That's why we confess our sins. That's why we don't hate our brothers but walk in the light. Yeah? So that's what we do. So that in the light, God can work in our lives. He works in that environment, the environment of light. And so that's where we place ourselves, so the light comes on. When we come to know him, the light comes on. And we are now in an environment, we're now walking in an environment where God can bring order out of chaos in our lives, whatever it might have been in the past. We now come into a different environment. And that's what God did in the beginning there. He created light. And though it doesn't change anything of itself, we're in that environment. And we're out of ignorance now, and we're out of sinfulness, and we are no longer spiritually dead, but we are in the light, and God can work in our lives. Amen? And so I remember I was in a church some years ago, and this lady came to the altar call, and afterwards she was saying to me, you know, my husband left me for a younger woman. And oh, how I hate her, and I hate him, but then I love him, and then I hate him, and then I love him, and I'm caught in this chaos, and whenever I meet some of his mates, I say as many nasty things and things he wouldn't want people to know to them, and it'll get back to him because I know it'll hurt him. But then when I'm praying, I'm saying to God, oh God, can you send him back to me, God? Can you make it happen again? And over here, I'm sticking the knife in. Well, we prayed about the chaos of her life and the order that needed to come. A year, I think about 18 months later, I came back to that church, and this lady came running up to me in the foyer and said, Pastor Ian, guess what? I mean, I'd forgotten her, I'm sorry to say, right? But she said, guess what happened? I said, I don't know, because I don't know what was happening in the first place, right? She said, well, I'm that lady, and she explained, and she said, guess what? I said, I don't know, word of knowledge isn't working at the moment, sorry. And she said, My husband has left that other woman, and that's all finished up now. And I said, what happened? She said, well, I was just praying one day, and she said, instead of all that bitterness being in me, suddenly, this is what she said, suddenly she said, the light came on, that bitterness was wrong, and I asked the grace of God to fill my heart, and the light came on, she said. And every time I then met his mates, I said all the good things that I could say about him because the light had come on, and she was speaking creative words and not destructive words, and the Spirit can work with that. And she said, guess what? I said, she said, we're going on our second date next week. And some order was beginning to come out of the chaos of her life because the light had come on. And she was able to speak words out of the light and not words out of darkness. We need to get into the light. You see, darkness hinders the word of God. Genesis 1:4, the very next verse, God divided the light from the darkness. Friends, changes will come very often by what you say no to before what you say yes to. Change will come very often, first of all, by what you say no to, the darkness, before what you say yes to in the light. Amen? They're the principles that we operate by. We cannot walk in darkness and expect order to come in that situation. And so God divided the light from the darkness. Let me say to you, once the environment was created, do you notice that it didn't just happen? It wasn't Shazam. The light came on, but nothing much else happened until, again, the Bible says, and God said, 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 through day one through to day six, and God said. It's not just the once, but we keep speaking creation into being. We continue to prophesy, even if we don't see it all come together straight away. How many people, when we go to God, you know, we want it all done, we want day seven now, right? Husband changed now. Right? We don't see the change in day one, day two, day three, day four, day five, day six, and thank God, right? But God had a plan, and he needed things to come together. And before anything could be on dry ground, there had to be dry ground. And before anything living could come, there had to be vegetation to eat. And before, and all these things had to be in the plan of God. Things happened in the plan of God for people who do not stop speaking, who do not stop declaring, who do not stop believing. And you notice there, it says in Genesis, and God planted, and God formed, and God made. It didn't say God zapped. He created things. He made things. He formed things together. And he does that in our lives. There are times for absolute miracles when the word is spoken. And it's just like that. Yeah? But have you noticed that when somebody receives a miracle, they still need to walk the life transformation beyond that miracle? People who have been caught in illness for a long time need to be able to now walk in health. Sometimes there is a miracle and light comes on and forgiveness can be given, but people need to learn to walk again in the newness of that. And so it's a day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. And we continue with it to believe that our day seven can come, that it can be complete and that it can be together in day seven. If we continue to believe that the Spirit is working as we declare the Word of God, that's what he's doing there. Now, I believe in miracles and I believe in the blessing of day one, day two, day three, day four, day five. I do. I have three sons. Close on these stories. I have three sons, and one of them, when he was 6 years old, suddenly he began to fit all the time, lost a lot of weight, ended up in hospital. Nobody knew what was going on. I remember walking in hospital one day, and his little singlet had just fallen off his shoulders, and he was just there, and he was sick as, and every day he was fitting, and I remember walking in one day and my wife was at the end of the passageway and there was a window behind her and the light was coming in and she had that picture of that just sagged shoulders, don't know what to do because the doctors had just said to her, we're going to go and see whether there is a tumor in his brain and whether he has some cancer or whatever it might be. And I remember walking down there, and as it was, as they turned out, that he had systemic rheumatoid arthritis as a six-year-old, they told us by the time he was 14, he'd be in a wheelchair. By the time he was 21, he'd be lucky to be alive with breathing difficulties and so forth. So we got together with the church, and we began to declare the Word of God, to look for the Spirit of God to move in his life. And there was a woman in our meeting there, and I don't know why God did it this way, but she said, on this date, which was yet to come, not that far away, but on this date, he will fit no more and it will be turned around. Wow. Right? And so every day he would fit but medicate, back to hospital, back home again. That date came. My wife had it on her diary, as you would, right? You know, and from that date on, he never fitted again, never had a problem again. When he was 14 years of old, he was the fast bowler on his cricket team. And at his 21st birthday, he gave glory to God for the miracle of the Word and of the Spirit. Amen. So I believe in it. But then there are pathways as well. One of my sons and his wife, was married, married, and they wanted to have kids, but they couldn't. They went everywhere. They went, to every miracle service, and they went to every doctor and specialist and IV clinic and you name it, because there was desperation. It became a chaos in their life and turmoil in their mind, and they wanted a child, And it just went on year after year after year. The Lord blessed them in other ways. I mean, he could buy and sell me 20 times over now, But they were building a home and, just 60 squares. And he was showing me through. He grew up in a 10-square home, And showing me through when the frames were up. And he said, you know, is the kitchen, the great room, the gym, the theatre room, you know, as you do, right? You know, and then we came to this room and he said, this is the nursery. This is not a bedroom. On the plans, it said nursery. But everybody was saying, impossible. And my grandson is 8 years old this year. Because they put faith down on the plan and said, nursery. Spirit needs something to work with. That was their point of faith. So we're a people of the Word and of the Spirit, amen? We're a people who believe that the light can shine and that God has a plan. God has a plan in our life, Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. But we're a people who can't just bask in that verse. We're a people who have to expend faith to see the Spirit move. Would you stand with me in this place today? And so all that, I thought when Pastor Ryan was singing that song, I didn't have to preach this morning. I thought, well, there you are. It's all said. You know, but guess what? You had to put up with it anyway. He brings beauty out of ashes. But friends, it doesn't just happen. Because let me say to you, in a very caring way, that God is more interested in what you become through your chaos than he is in even bringing order. Because in the chaos, he's creating the people that he wants. And he wants a people of faith. He wants a people of the Word. And he wants a people of the Spirit. That's who he's creating. And the chaos draws us to that. Otherwise, we can just hang out with Warnie and have a chat. The rest of the world. But we're a people of the Word and of the Spirit. And it's not just about order in our lives, but the greatest joy is to be able to work with faith in other people's lives, to pray and prophesy, declare, to jointly do something in faith, to pick up the phone, to speak that word of forgiveness, the word of reconciliation, to speak the word against the anger in our hearts, so God the Spirit can create love as he did with the son of thunder called John, who walked with the word and then was filled with the Spirit. The son of thunder became the apostle of love. Whatever it might be in our lives, but the great delight of the transformation. Can you imagine how the angels sang when they saw the green appear on the earth and the trees come up and the mountains and the shapes and the butterflies, the fish swim in the seas? Can you imagine? And the delight of God's creativity in our lives and our relationships. As we speak the word, look for the Spirit. I want to pray with you and for you. Not going to take long. But if there's an area of chaos, of fear and doubt, turmoil, an area of chaos of insecurity, an area of chaos of sickness, an area of chaos of fractured relationships, come and stand with me as an act of faith, would you? Do it as an act of faith. God, I'm going to step out. It's an act of faith. I'm just going to pray for you. I don't need the altar call, but God sometimes just needs us to do something and say, okay, God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to activate the Holy Spirit to come and move in the circumstance of my life. Would you come? We're not going to sing a song. If there's no chaos in your life, if you don't know anybody in an area of chaos, come and stand in place of somebody else. Maybe in your mind, maybe in your heart, maybe in your relationships, maybe the fears that come in the night. Maybe that situation in school where there's some bullying going on and some maybe chaos comes in the night, and I just have a sense of people who just can't sleep. chaos of their mind, their body. And we're going to declare, and you've made a step, see? God, you've made a step. You don't want to see this just as, oh, we've done another altar call. You want to see this as an action of faith. This is your word and your declaration. God, I'm believing. I'm giving you something to work with. I'm giving you the stuff here to build my hopes and my dreams with. Doing it right now. And so we're going to declare. See, when God said, you know, I read there where he said, I know the plans I have for you, right? And they're good plans and they're prosperous plans. He didn't, the Bible didn't just say he said it. He said he declared it. We're going to declare it, amen, into your life. And friends, I want you to declare it every day. I want you to speak the word. And if you need to make something right, get out of the darkness. Do it. Maybe it's beyond you and in other people's lives that you're standing here for. Lord, I thank you for this moment of light. I thank you that your word has brought light. I thank you that we stand in the environment of possibility. I thank you that we stand, Lord, on the edge of creation. I thank you, Lord, that world can be made aright, Lord God. I thank you that, Lord, the law of entropy that has been working can be turned around and that things can move from glory to glory, Lord God, in people's lives. Lord God, I declare by the faith that people have exhibited here today, Holy Spirit, you who have been hovering, that you will move in those circumstances, that you will speak to hearts, that you will heal body and mind, that you will open possibilities, Lord God, that you will give strength where there is no strength, that you will do, Lord, the miracles that people look for here in this place today. We declare it, Lord, for your glory, honor of your name, in Jesus' name, we pray that you will bring beauty out of ashes, joy out of mourning, in Jesus' name, amen and amen. Give the Lord a hand this morning. He's the God of order. Amen. Lord bless you.
Wasn't that a great message? Just give a hand for Pastor Ian. Thank you so much. We're about ready to close. If you're here today and you've just found yourself in church, you don't know Jesus, I'd love to give you the opportunity to get to know him. We'd love to pray for you. No pressure. But if you do want to come up the front, then the space is open. If you want prayer for healing, the space is open. But yeah, we'll close. We're having our AGM in how many minutes, Neil? A cuppa? In cuppa and cake minutes, we are having our AGM back in this room. All right. Ooh. Brett Smith was taken home during church by Dave, and when we prayed for Dave before, that's where he was. Let's lift our hands to heaven. I that's all I know. Lord, just as we've heard, with an act of faith that you take action, God, and we stand in the gap right now for Brett. And we pray that you'd bring order from chaos in whatever he's going through right now. We speak healing over his body. We speak heaven to earth. Your will be done in his body as it is in heaven. We pray that right now, wherever he is, wherever those guys are right now, God, that you would intervene into that situation, bring healing. We speak light into that darkness. Complete healing. Just begin to worship God right now. We worship. We praise you, Jesus. God, you're so good. We love you more. Let's thank you for your heart for people, God. We just speak health and wholeness over Brett and his whole family right now. Just fill the room that he's in right now with your presence, with your peace, with your healing, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Complete healing. God's people said amen. Amen. Alrighty. Coffee and cake. Or tea. Okay, but coffee and cake. Awesome. Thanks so much. You are free to move about.